الله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it is the day of Friday, and every single Friday we get together, whether we like it or not. This is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes upon us, one that we must fulfill, one that we come together and unite. Like we said, whether we like it or not, we must unite at least once a week. And this is from the wisdom and hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's topic will be revolving around the issues that we face both here in Canada as well as abroad, around the world. And we see that the world is changing. Every single day, the world is changing. We wake up in the morning at 6 a.m. and open the news, or we come home from work at 6 p.m. and open the TV and see the news, or we sit in our car and open the radio, or you get to work and you open your desktop, or you just simply look at your phone and realize that even on social media platforms, you're getting the news. And the news is changing every single day. There's new things happening in the news. Sadly, 90 to 95% of it is negative. And we notice that even more so today, the finger is being pointed at you and I, at Muslims. Things that are being done under the banner of Islam, which we will prove today and learn that these are not associated to Islam. Before we move forward, I'd like to remind you that my khutbahs are usually very simple, very straightforward. We will take one hadith in the first half of the khutbah, and we'll take one verse in the first half and a hadith in the second part of the khutbah. Two things that we focus on. Firstly, we draw our attention to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger to us. And this messenger was on a mission. It wasn't mission impossible. It was mission possible. A mission for him, a mission for his companions, a mission for you and I. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very clearly, very simply. He says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent you, meaning he, Allah, has not sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that he is a mercy. But mercy upon who? Upon what? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That he is a mercy upon all of mankind, all of the humans, all of the jinn, all of this earth and the heavens and the skies and the trees and the plants and the animals and the insects and the homes and everything that we see. Everything within and everything without. That was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see things happening around the world today. For example, what's happened in Australia, or Sydney to be more exact. What's happened in Pakistan, Peshawar. Killing of innocent people, murdering innocent children under the so-called banner of Islam. La wallahi, this is not Islam. The Prophet ﷺ, as an example to you and I, when he was on the battlefield, and we are not on the battlefield, clearly we are not sitting on a battlefield. The Prophet ﷺ commanded his companions, radiallahu anhum, that when they were in the midst of a battle, entering a village or a town or a city on the battlefield, not like we see today in Syria or in Iraq, in different parts of the world where people are invading towns and villages without being on the battlefield. They themselves think they're on a battlefield, but there's no battle. In a battle, you need to have two sides. People who are fighting and people who are being fought. Right? And both of them are fighting each other. And we see that the Prophet ﷺ, when he commanded the companions to enter upon the battlefield and to go and invade certain lands, he told them very exact, precise descriptions of how to respect the lands they were entering. Respect. Respect on the battlefield? What does this mean? The Prophet ﷺ commanded the companions, when they enter, they should not harm the children. They should not harm the women. They should not harm the elderly. And it goes even beyond that. The Prophet ﷺ commanded the companions to also respect those who are religious leaders, to also respect the religious places of worship, to respect the homes of the people, to respect the trees, the plants, the flowers, the agriculture. The Prophet ﷺ tells the companions to respect the animals, to respect the insects, and so on and so forth. And that's on the battlefield. That is on the battlefield, in the middle of a war. So today, when we see innocent children in a school, when we see innocent patients inside hospitals, when we see innocent people having a coffee in the morning inside of a cafe, that is not Islam. They are not being harmed because of Islam. They are being harmed because of ignorance of people or individuals. My brothers and sisters, if we were to hold on to this concept of harming innocent children, for example, in what happened in Pakistan, Peshawar, and say that this was something that needed to be done because these are children of army or military soldiers and generals and commanders, and they will grow up to fight people, and so therefore we need to destroy them. This is a false statement. Islam does not allow that. And if it was the case that we were to harm people that were not spreading the deen and goodness, then half of you and I would not be here today. I myself would not be here today. If Islam's policy was to go around from village to village and destroy people that did not enter Islam or did not claim or state that they were Muslim, my mother and her family would have been killed long ago if that was Islam. But alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, today we see, especially here in Canada, in North America, in the so-called Western countries, a large number and population of Muslims who were not Muslim at birth, or their parents were not Muslim, or their grandparents were not Muslim, but Islam, through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that came as rahmatul lil alameen, or rahmatan lil alameen, this is a mercy to all of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that it is not upon you to guide those who you wish or you will or you love goodness for, For verily we can try and try, and we have tried and we continue to try to spread Islam to our neighbors, to our friends, to our relatives. But it is only Islam that opens their heart and allows them to enter this beautiful deen. My brothers and sisters, being radical is not a part of this religion. And we will touch more upon that in the second half of this khutbah, insha'Allah ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. As we mentioned in the first half of this khutbah, we will cover one verse and one hadith. Even though we mentioned a few supportive evidences, we still hold on to the first verse, which is وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy to all of mankind. In the second part of this khutbah, we will focus on the fact that our neighbors are those that we must look after. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, a hadith that actually begins very similar to a number of other hadith, a number of other statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, very beautifully, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدَكُمْ, that you will not fully and truly believe, as in, or meaning, that your iman will not be 100% complete. You will not fulfill your iman, except and unless that you do a number of things. And in one of the statements of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدَكُمْ حَتَّى يُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ, that you will not fully complete your iman and be a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully and wholly, except that you are good or respectful or fulfill the rights of your neighbor, the rights that our neighbors have upon us. But let's step back and look at who our neighbors really are. In a country where the population is 36 to 38 million, and the Muslims from amongst that 36 to 38 million make up 1 to 1.2 million, therefore, almost every single one of us have neighbors, at least one that is non-Muslim. And when you do the math, you realize that your neighbor in front of you, behind you, to the right and to the left, is most likely non-Muslim. And so therefore, what does it mean to fulfill the rights of our neighbor that they have upon us as Muslims, living in a country where they are most likely non-Muslim? And we ourselves claim that Islam has come as rahmatan lil'alameen through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do we harm our neighbors? Do we hurt our neighbors? How do we spread the message of Islam to our neighbors? It is winter. A simple example. Let's begin by shoveling the snow and cleaning the car of our neighbor when we get up at Fajr. For the brothers who wake up and go to the masjid for Fajr, and that's every single one of us, correct? Every single one of us wakes up and we dig our own car out. And we saw that the snow came down today. I'm pretty sure from now on it's going to come even more. So we clean the snow of our car and around the car of the neighbor. We clean the walkway of the neighbor. We take their garbage out, or we put the garbage in a garbage bag. When a raccoon comes in the summer and digs the garbage out of the bag, we go and we put the garbage of the neighbor back in the bag, neatly and nicely. One day, our child, our spouse, maybe even our own self will be sick and in the hospital. And we will be in the hospital worrying about our family that's at home. Maybe they don't have food to eat. There's no one there to cook for them. How are we going to babysit the children? And your neighbor, who is a non-Muslim, will look after your family. Because you took the snow away from their car. You put their garbage back in the garbage bag. You set an example to them in every aspect of your life that the Prophet ﷺ was sent for no other reason except to spread goodness upon this earth. To spread goodness in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the message of Islam. That is a message that we give to others. Let's take a few examples of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say, you know, our neighbors are non-Muslim. It was very easy at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of their neighbors were Muslim, correct? Wrong. Who were the neighbors of the Muslims in Medina at that time? During the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right beside them was the marketplace. To the opposite side of the market was the Jewish community. And you also saw that there were Christians there. And there were mushrikeen. But there was a large Jewish community that lived side by side with the Muslims in Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum in the morning, where did they go? They got up, they did their amal, their actions, their, you know, salah and so on and so forth. And they went to the marketplace to trade. With who? With the Muslims? Yes. But also with the non-Muslims. To live simultaneously on this earth, spreading goodness even in your business transactions with your neighbors. Showing them a beautiful example of who you are in your worship and ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Out of respect, when a funeral procession was passing by, he would stand up out of respect even though they weren't Muslim. And you can imagine what's going through the mind of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point in time. That this is a person who's going to the cemetery to be buried, who he tried hard to put Islam into their hearts, but he left that up to Allah. The question that you and I should be asking each other, what am I doing for my neighbor? Am I trying to put Islam in the household of my neighbor as well? How many times do we see a funeral procession going by with the black hearse and the cars and everyone's following? And we don't even think twice that I could be questioned and answered on the Day of Judgment because of that person. That might be someone who in the end I am questioned about, why didn't I spread Islam to that person's household? And today, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us not only with a number of non-Muslim neighbors to spread Islam towards, but with social media. To use social media in ways that is positive. To take the deen simply in spreading good words. Not by backbiting and bashing others that say negative things online. Rather to say something good, even when they say something bad about you, to respond with something good and harmonious so that life on this earth is spread through goodness shown to us through the method of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see that also when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is being mentioned, we send peace and blessings upon him. We also see that when we meet each other and greet each other as Muslims, we say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We wish goodness upon each other. And sadly, today we notice a lot of Muslims mumble a response back and say, no, alaykum salam. Right? Because we're not happy with one another. But that is what ties in everything, going back to my initial statement at the very beginning of this khutbah, that whether we like it or not, Allah commands us to become united on Friday for Salatul Jumu'ah. And that is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, I want to remind each and every one of us that it is our responsibility, as parents especially, as teachers and educators, we're in a school, to teach and talk to our children about the issues that are happening around the world. Why should we do this? We should do it because whether we like it or not, our children face pressures from other students at schools. Alhamdulillah, this is an Islamic school. But for many people, their children do not go to Islamic schools. And they go to schools where people pick on them, where their own friends and sometimes even teachers pick on them and say, oh, look at your religion. This is what your parents teach you to do, right? Is this what you're supposed to do? You go to the mosque 5 times a day to bow down and then to learn how to be radical? Rather, we should be teaching our children what Islam preaches and promotes. As we learned today, two very simple things that I like to do. As I said, very simple. One hadith and one verse. Take it to your families. Take it to your relatives. Take it to your spouse who's not here. Take it to your husband who doesn't give you his, you know, explanation or his meaning or translation, we could say, of the khutbah when he comes home from work. Teach it to your children. Show them that Islam is a religion of peace. Islam is one that promotes unity. Lastly, brothers and sisters, never forget that amongst our deen, there is a qa'idah. There is a ruling, a sort of obligation that we must fulfill. And that is that the safety of the entire ummah, or a nation, a community, a group, is far more important than the safety and security of one single person. So if you know from amongst you, or your children know people who are thinking to become radical or go abroad and do things that is not in accordance with the Sharia, then it is our responsibility, not only as Canadians, but also our responsibility as Muslims, that we safeguard the safety of our ummah here living in this society for the greater good. Meaning, 1 or 2 or 10 or 15 people have been mentioned in the media and the news that they've gone abroad and fought and done things under the so-called banner of Islam. And because of their actions, we now are facing a lot of immigration difficulties, we are facing a lot of hardships within our communities, and a lot of backlash has come our way. And therefore it is our responsibility as Muslims to report, whether to your imams or to your Muslim communities, or to the legal authorities in the countries like the police and so on, that a person is thinking to do something negative and radical. جزاكم الله خيرا. We send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers and his angels do. As mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final messenger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for the Muslims in this country and all the different countries and places on earth to live as people who are preaching and promoting goodness, as well as having the ability and the freedom to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ways that He wills. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a cure to those who are sick from amongst us, as well as those of our family members and relatives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the pains and the difficulties upon the families of the children and the sick and the ill and those who were murdered and killed in different parts of the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to generally have mercy upon us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Ibadallah, arhimakumullah. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkuru Allah yadhkurkum wad'uhu yastajib lakum. Wa ladhikru Allahi akbar. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un.